is Free Talk Live, and it's the live Christmas Day edition of the program, also the Saturday show. Welcome to it. It's Ian here.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass is here.
Phones are open, although right now phone calls will be limited to questions for our special guest, who I think was the last guest that we had on the show. We don't do guests on Free Talk Live very often,
oh, yeah.
So I think, Adam Kokesh, you were also the last person we had on as a guest whenever a few months ago. Welcome back, mm-hmm. Adam.
Thank you. Well, I'm pretty sure I've earned it this time, and I am truly honored for this opportunity and to be joining you on this most auspicious Christmas day, given the date of my victory being December 21st, the solstice itself.
Oh, yeah.
And man, it is an honor to be talking to both of y'all, but Ian, especially to really appreciate what just happened and what I just accomplished, because basically government came at me with a felony 2 charge for distributing, manufacturing psilocybin mushrooms, and 2 associated vehicle charges for driving without license plates and without insurance. And I stared them down and admitted to it and confessed to all the facts that would reasonably lead them to those charges, and said, but it is not illegal for me to be doing this because of these reasons, and what you are doing is wrong, and you will stop. And I stared them down, and it took me 12 days in solitary confinement, but they said, okay, you win.
Oh, they blinked first?
Yeah,
he didn't even get to an arraignment. I mean, it was it's been an amazing last couple of weeks. And let's go back to the beginning of this. You had traveled to Colorado. You live in Arizona. You got a homestead there.
Yeah.
And you had traveled up to Colorado for some sort of a memorial service for Johnny Hurley, correct?
Well, that's been exaggerated in the reports. But to back up, I was going for a week-long sort of solo adventure. Me and just the 2 girls, Thelma and Louise, my dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey, my girlfriend, Mary Jane, was supposed to join me, but had a family obligation that last minute led me to doing this trip by myself. And I went and gave a speech at the Utah Libertarian Party 50th anniversary event, which was quite an honor as well.
Oh, okay.
The title being How and Why to Be a Pirate. Well, I know we're on mainstream radio.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
How and why to be a friggin' pirate, was the title of my speech. And I talked about driving without a license and the ticket I just got and et cetera, et cetera. And what it means to just live that lifestyle of being on the side of righteousness when the law is wrong. And to live and act upon that and to be more free and enjoy life more as a result. So then I was visiting friends up in Northport near the Canadian border north of Spokane. Then my radiator gave out, and I was limping through the cold back to visit my dad for his birthday in Cheyenne. Oh, it was cold. And then the Johnny Hurley thing was just taking out some of my mutual friends there. I said, I'm coming through town. I want to pay my respects to the hero of Arvada. And if anybody, I'm sure your listeners know, but quick reminder.
Yeah,
Johnny
I was going
to
say, let's do a quick recap on who that is.
Johnny Hurley is an old friend of mine and you know, not to oversell our friendship, but we were, you know, friendly and respected colleagues as activists. And he was a concealed carry weapons permit holder who practiced concealed carry and intervened in a mass shooting as it was starting with a gentleman who was intent on killing as many cops as possible, just killed one. Johnny intervened and shot him. And then in a case of quote unquote mistaken identity, a cop showed up to the scene, shot and killed our friend Johnny Hurley. So
right.
I was going to pay my respects and to see the site and to walk the, you know, his last steps.
Yeah.
And I took a rock, you know, and wrote hashtag Hero Hurley on it as a memorial. And the fact that we live in a country where police are a special privileged class of criminals that are incentivized to shoot first and ask questions later leads to tragedies like this. And the Johnny Hurley story should have been as big as any police violence or misconduct story or any kind of, you know, headline news. It bleeds, it leads headlines. But this really contradicts the mainstream narrative because it exposes the evil that the system puts on the streets in the incentives that cops are given in interacting with civilians. And Johnny Hurley paid the ultimate price to do the right thing. And so that was really on my mind as I was then driving home from Arvada to my homestead, Gardenia, in northern Arizona, and picked up some psilocybin mushroom capsules on the way. And this is where I'll leave some details out for the purposes of I am happy to manage my own liability, but I must respect others' desire to manage their related liabilities to their own degrees. So was driving lawfully, you know, I hate to, of all the things, I'm going to sound like some kind of, you know, John McAfee, and John McAfee also suicided in jail in a Spanish prison recently, weighing heavy on my mind going into this.
Sure.
Thinking about him and, you know, how much I looked up to him almost as a father figure, as and my dad's quite the badass on this count as well. You know, he's the one who's responsible for the Supreme Court case, Kokesh versus the SEC, Kokesh 9-0 victory. But John McAfee had a certain flair for living his life with an absolute disregard for the validity of unjust law. And I kind of strive to live up to that. But when it comes to traffic safety or even passive resistance, acquiescing to the social standard of the speed limits, more or less, you know, I don't speed. I drive very carefully. I will drive, you know, mildly under the influence of cannabis, which for me is something I sip throughout the day as kind of a, you know, mood leveler more than anything. But I would describe myself as sober. I don't drive drunk. I don't drive in a way that puts other people at risk.
Well, they pulled you over because you didn't have a tag, right? Or something like some sort of driving thing.
Exactly. I was driving, you know, so like I dial in normally 3 or 4 over the speed limit, or maybe, you know, 8 over the speed limit when I'm on super country roads.
So you don't think they were laying in wait for you? They didn't know that Adam Kokesh, the founder of Homefront Battle Buddies, which is this thing you were telling us about last time, it's your new mission, is to help veterans who have, you know, issues like PTSD, give them a place to go down in Arizona, basically a resort where they can take a spiritual journey on something like psychedelic mushrooms and address some of these deep-seated issues. They didn't know you were coming through, figuring they would, you know, catch you with some psilocybin. This was a total random stop.
Let me just say about, I love your context there. Thank you. Yeah. For Homefront Battle Buddies, homefrontbattlebuddies.org, and it is to provide veterans with all manners of alternative therapy experiences that are not available through the VA, or that they're not comfortable getting through the VA. As for myself, when I was in Fallujah in 2004, you're not going to hear me talk. I'd rather talk to y'all on the radio than any kind of VA shrink about my experience with torture in Iraqis. Mm-hmm. So it's all of that. And while psilocybin mushrooms are something that we can talk about openly now and say, yes, we grow them here and we give them away to veterans here. It's a small part of, you know, giving guys the tools for personal wellness, physical fitness, nutrition, self-empowerment, legal consulting, financial consulting, access to education, VA benefits, everything that we can do in that context that we're capable of. As a C3, we don't actually touch anything illegal under even federal law, but we facilitate with a safe place.
Stand by. Adam Kokesh is with us here from Adam Versus the Man. He is basically fresh out of jail, just got out a few days ago after almost 2 weeks behind bars in what is essentially a solitary confinement situation. We're just scratching the surface of the story. We got a lot to dig deep into here. You're welcome to join us as well.
I've got questions.
Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. Live Saturday show, also the Christmas Day edition of the program. And yes, we are here throughout the holidays live. So if you're here on New Year's Eve, we'll be live. New Year's Day, we're here. Every single day, 7 days a week.
Freedom doesn't take a day off, Ian.
Exactly. With you tonight, it's Ian.
The Reverend Captain Kickass.
And this is all brought to you by Bitcoin.com. Great place to go and get started learning about cryptocurrency. Currently, Bitcoin price, the BTC price, is just over $50,000, a little less than $51,000 per unit. Still lower than its all-time high, around $68,000.
But Merry Christmas if you bought the dip.
Yeah, it might still be a dip if you think about it. So you never know what the price is going to do in the next 5 minutes or 5 days. But generally in the last several years, the price has trended upward. And if you want to learn the basics about cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, get on over to Bitcoin.com, click Get Started at the top of the page, and you'll find lots of good information there. If you're time pressed, you can just watch that first video, get some of the basic concepts down in about 3 minutes of your time over at Bitcoin.com. Again, click Get Started at the top of the page. We go back to Adam Kokesh. He is here with us on the line from his home in Arizona after being held in roughly a solitary confinement. Was it a 23-hour-a-day lockdown, Adam? That they had you on?
No, it was worse, actually.
Really?
Because, well, I think we'll come back to this.
I'm sure we will.
I don't want to say I even refused. I really just declined all of their offers to book. And so they carried me when I got in there into their holding tank, which is a 6x9 cell with just a toilet sink combo unit and a metal bunk. And I was in that room for 12 days straight.
Wow.
Except for twice I went out to take a shower for about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Once I met with a public defender for 30 minutes. And once I spoke with the county sheriff.
Wow.
For about 15 minutes. Oh, and once I walked out to their little closet of a library, it was a disaster for about 15 minutes. So about an hour and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, an hour and a half out of 12 days straight. Except for that, I was in the 6x9.
I want to ask, because I don't quite, I've seen this done or attempted, or people have talked about whether or not activists will do this when they get arrested. And that is what you did, the strategy of, you know, sort of not replying, you know, if they come it's time for,
yeah.
You know, I'm curious about that.
Yeah. Well, let me, the strategy, since you bring that up, I can explain very quickly as a complete non-compliance with their game and complete commitment to I'm in your custody, you're going to take care of me, that's my game, and I'm going to tell you what I think about what's going on, and you're going to listen to me, because otherwise you don't know what to do with me, and I am going to prove that I'm way more trouble than it's worth and that you are in the wrong here. But the first question that Ian raised, I think, is really the important one sequentially, which is like, was I targeted as an individual,
right.
Or was it truly a random stop?
Yeah.
And it's kind of a combination. I know that sounds impossible, but I think it was primarily a random stop where they really were like, oh, no plates. But even then, like, it's a super rural county, Sawatch County, population about 6,300. Tiny, you know, in the town center, one of the bigger towns in the county, is population under 2,000.
Yeah.
So the area that people don't really get pulled over for driving without plates anyway.
Was it daytime, nighttime? What was the scene like?
Yeah, it was just before noon. And I was just driving on my way home, and so was I targeted? I mean, it was kind of like maybe a 1 in 100 this and a 1 in 100 that and another 1 in 100. But then, so going through the sequence of events here, we'll explain that. So I got pulled over for not having a plate, allegedly. And officer comes up and I roll my window down halfway because I got Thelma and Louise in the back seat. I'm like, you know, I don't want to let my dogs jump out. How you doing, sir? And, you know, we're going to get discovery on this and get all the video, because there's some disagreement here and how he later reported in his affidavit for a warrantless arrest, where he said I was behaving erratically. But as I recall, he basically said, "Hey, do you have any plates for this truck?" And I said, "No." He said, "Do you have a license?" And I said, "No." But here's, and that's a whole other long story. I said, "Here's my VA ID. I'm not hiding my identification. You can write down my name." I held it up to the window. I said, "You know, this is my name. This is my, and here's my date of birth. And you can look me up." And I actually happen to have a valid driver's license in the system. I just don't have the card. So you can go look that up. I have an Arizona driver's license.
Before you go on with the story, there were reports. I think it was your wife who mentioned that you had tried to stream this live, but the feed cut 6 seconds in. Was that just due to a terrible cell phone signal out in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah. And
so do you still have video on your phone? Did you?
No.
No. Ah, shoot.
No, and I have a dash cam, but it cycles. So by the time I got to it, it had recorded over.
Damn it.
And just bad luck on that. But it wouldn't have been much anyway, because we're going to get I think there were body cameras. There was a dash cam involved. We're going to be able to get all that in discovery here.
How are you going to get discovery if they drop the charges on you?
Well, I told you I had a special announcement, didn't I? I have a letter. I have the Kokesh Christmas letter to.
We'll get to that.
And the people involved, but yeah, I got leverage here. That's the point.
Okay.
So they pull me over, and he takes my information, goes back to his car, and has me run through the NCIC, CCIC, you know, National Criminal Database, et cetera, systems, and says I have 3 outstanding warrants from the case in Texas where I beat 4 felonies and a misdemeanor, again, using the religious defense, but not as decisive a victory in that case, because I ended up filing a motion to dismiss based on I'm a member of the Oklavoya Native American Church and a self-proclaimed Wiccan and First Amendment religious rights. I have the right to possess all natural substances as sacrament, you know, based on my judgment, not yours. Go right. Pound sand. And they came back to me with a plea deal that was basically such a nothing deal. It wasn't even a plea to the charges. It was like a sweetheart plea deal where you're like, oh man, this is like way easier than going to trial. But it's not the decisive victory that this was, which we'll get to here. Okay. So they come back to me and say, you have outstanding warrants. And he says, I'm going to call for backup. And then backup. And I said, yeah, I know I have warrants. They're non-extraditable, which is, I've been told that a few times, but this was actually the third time I got pulled over on this trip. And the first time was for not having a plate in Flagstaff. And this is so funny because my license had been suspended because I don't treat driving as a right. I mean, as a privilege that I have to purchase. I treat it as a right that I have a right to. And you really want to come at me for that. You know, I decided a long time ago, I'm done playing games. You know, I'm done paying for my rights.
I love it. Stand by. Adam Kokesh, you're pulled over in Colorado, some little county in southern Colorado. We'll continue. He ended up in jail for 12 days over this. And we'll find out how they found the alleged psilocybin here in moments. And what happened next? You can share your thoughts as well. This is Free Talk Live.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Worden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in Liberty and property. Mark Worden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live, join us here if you want, although questions would have to be just for Adam Kokesh, our special guest on the line. Our number is 603-283-6160 on this live Christmas Day edition. In the studio with you, it is Ian.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass is here.
And we are raising money for Give directly. It's a very interesting organization that has been helping people in extreme levels of poverty.
And I love the idea of giving directly.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Great idea.
In fact, they've helped out over 1 million people in the last couple of decades with over $400 million of cash given to these folks with no strings attached. And it allows people in really needy places like Kilifi and Bomet counties in Kenya right now. That's who we're working on helping out at the moment. And their research finds that giving cash to people living in poverty can help drive a range of important positive changes in those folks' lives, like employment, nutrition, health, and education. Plus, cash allows individuals to invest in what they need instead of relying on aid organizations and donors thousands of miles away choosing for them. So if that's what you prefer, we agree. And that's why Free Talk Live is matching donations to give directly up to a total of $30,000. So if you want to help some folks out over the holiday season here, get over to give.freetalklive.com. That's give.freetalklive.com. And yes, they do take cryptocurrency. Some of that, you know, if you've got some weird crypto or whatever that's not one of their standard ones, they'll still work with you on it. So just reach out directly to them about that. So
nice.
Once again, that's give.freetalklive.com. Adam Kokesh is with us from his home in his home base there in Arizona after 12 days in more than solitary confinement, basically in a cruddy little county in southern Colorado that, you know, to their credit, when you challenged them, they backed down. Of these criminal charges. You'd been pulled over on your way back from visiting some folks, and they called in backup after they figured out who you were. You're an activist, and you know you're willing to stand up for yourself, and you got two big dogs with you. So they called in backup, and then what happened?
Well, they're little dogs right now. They're still puppies. But they're Thelma and Louise. They're gorgeous. One's a brindle, and one's a chocolate brindle, and they're from a local mutt litter. That is allegedly a pit bull, Rottweiler, and Sharpei mix.
They look gorgeous. I saw some pictures.
Yeah, and they're only I do a channel on Telegram for our homestead called Gardenia, and t.me/thegardenoffreedom. You can find that on there. My main channel, t.me/AdamVersusTheMan, Well, I don't know if I got cut off before the break there, but I want to be clear. There's no alleged in this here. I was traveling with capsules of ground up psilocybin mushrooms, and it was my intent to distribute them to veterans.
All right, fair enough.
just got to make that abundantly clear from the get go here.
Fantastic.
So, when they ran me through the system, this is the next 1 in 100 part of the sequence of events where maybe they saw old warrants that were on my record and made the mistake of reading them as currently extraditable. And so that was their, we have to take them into custody for that. And then the next critical step in the event sequence of events was, well, we might as well violate him since he's here in custody on the side of the road and try and pin some more charges on him. Let's search his truck.
Gotcha.
And, you know, well, there's literally no probable cause, although they later described my behavior as erratic, which is one of the reasons I'm pretty set on getting there. Body cam footage of this.
Got it.
Because I was not at all. And you all know me.
Sure. Pretty smooth.
I think I've got a solid enough record of being cool, calm, and collected under fire.
Right.
Specifically, even in much more stressful police interactions than anything in this case.
Right.
So basically, another officer showed up and said, your warrants are extraditable and Texas will extradite. So we are taking you into custody. Please step out of the vehicle. And this is, again, it's going to sound like submission, but when your safety, public safety is involved because officers are threatening you with coercion on the side of the road, that is not the place to resist.
Agreed.
So you comply physically until you are safely in the back of their squad car, at least. You might completely remain silent but I would not advise that because it's creepy and cuts off a mode of communication that might be useful for safety or comfort. But certainly assert your rights to not answer questions mm-hmm. that you don't want to answer for whatever reason, and err on the side of saying, you know what, officer, I'd rather wait till I have an attorney to talk about that.
That's good advice.
If it's anything of that nature. And that's my general attitude. If you're uncomfortable differentiating what to say, don't say anything at all, but no reason to be a dick about it, and no reason to cut off, hey, you know, I got a shoulder injury, you put my hands behind my back for more than 5 minutes, I'm going to be in agony. And they accommodated me for that, actually. But they did completely violate my rights by calling in a canine without probable cause, pulling my dogs out of the car, taking them into custody. And their circumstance is a whole other story.
In yeah.
this, but they were taken and left outside in the cold in Colorado winter in a crate. And
this was where, like the pound? Is that where they were taken?
I'll call it out. It was Monta Vista Animal Control is what they call it, but it had another name. There's a specific name, but it's known as Monta Vista Animal Control.
So it's a government agency. The government...
More or less, yeah, if not, okay. It's a direct contractor mm-hmm. that gets paid to take animals that are seized.
And as I understand it, somebody who was a friend that was in the region came down, and they wouldn't let them go pick the dogs up right away because they were quote unquote closed for the weekend. So they had
it's kind of like, no, if you're taking care of animals and you're responsible for other people's animals, screw that. You are at least on call 24 hours a day. So, like, no, that's inhumane. You're seizing animals from other people's care, and then we're just going to be closed for a couple of days. They got food. Mm-mm.
Yeah, no. They don't lock up the canine police dogs on the weekends, do they?
Nope.
So,
no.
Yeah.
That is not okay. I'm not okay with that. We are going to address that.
Okay.
And they got a little frostbite on their ears, but they were otherwise okay from what we know.
Good.
But yeah, this is if you recall, like my dog Blue, Conour. That's it. Like Conour, Conour Animal Shelter.
Okay.
In Rio Grande County, it's in Monta Vista, Colorado. Yeah. Thank you, dear. So they pulled me out of the truck and to theirs, and then their canine came around, and I'm watching all this from the back of a squad car. I get moved to a sheriff's squad car. I get taken all, and I'm watching them search my truck, and I have all this like random interesting gear, and I had a baboon skull, and I just bought some silver coins, and I saw them geeking out on that. I got my comic book collection back from my brother from being in storage.
Oh,
like
nice.
it was a weird collection of stuff in my truck from this journey. I had an old like sea trunk, like wood, leather, metal, that it's like a restoration project I found on Craigslist, like a pirate's trunk. And they were like, what the heck is all of this stuff? So, but they found the capsules because they were sitting in my console. I wasn't hiding them.
Right.
And they towed my truck somewhere and searched it more thoroughly, really tossed it. They pried out some of the interior panels.
Wow.
And left them hanging. Yeah. Like, you know, just, oh, there might be drugs hidden in the door, you know, pop, pop, really, stuff like that. And some other little damage here and there, but nothing out of the norm. But then I was taken to custody in Sawatch County Jail. And before I got there, I told the sheriff who was driving me, or the sheriff's deputy was a sergeant, Sergeant Brubaker. I said, you know what? I'm not, and he's an Iraq vet too. But I basically told him, I'm not cooperating with this anymore. You're going to have to carry me in.
All right, stand by. More with Adam Kokesh here. And yeah, it's got to be really interesting when the police have to carry somebody because they're used to people just going where they're told to go and they don't have to put any effort in whatsoever. We'll continue with the story here in moments here on Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. If you want to join us here, 603-283-6160. If you've got a question for Adam Kokesh from Adam versus the Man and now HomefrontBattleBuddies.org. He was arrested on the side of the road in Sawatch County, Colorado. So he was just trying to go home with his dogs from visiting some folks and had acquired some psilocybin capsules. So not the actual mushrooms that you might be used to seeing, but presumably ground up and put into capsules. And the cops found him. Took him into custody, and you told him at one point as you're on your way to the to be processed at the jail or the holding facility there, Adam. You said you've had it. You're not going to be cooperating from here on out. You're going to have to carry me, and that's where you left the story off.
Yeah, and this is where it gets good, but we're going to have to accelerate the narrative over the next 12 days to get to the shocking victory that this resulted in.
Well, there's usually not a whole lot that happens in jail if you're in solitary, so I imagine we can accelerate that part of the story somewhat, although there's always interesting jail stories. I know there were a lot of people calling. A lot of folks on the outside were making phone calls to the facility, and I imagine
the phone bombing was going on.
Yes,
I know that.
Yes, that got back to you, right? You knew they were doing that, right?
Well, it was actually an extremely rich experience. It did get back, and I gotta give a shout out, of course, to Joey, and I'll get to the sequence of events here and explain exactly why I really couldn't have done this without Joey Lee, GM Mary Jane, and everybody who backed her up taking the initiative in bringing the spotlight that I'm able to bring when this happens, because people know that what I'm doing is righteous and they have confidence in me as an activist of integrity going into a situation like this. So when I got in there, I'll also take this opportunity to shout out my own show, Adam versus the Man. In terms of the 12 days, I mean, I could talk about that alone for hours. And I think we spent about an hour on just that when we did this for the last 3-hour episode of Adam versus the Man we did on Thursday, just trying to get out as much of the narrative as I could while it was fresh on my mind. So if anybody wants to go back to that, again, my Telegram channel, t.me/Adam versus the Man, or on Odyssey,
nice.
.com/@AdamKokesh, KOKESH, or just search Adam versus the Man, wherever you get your propaganda.
Right.
And I told them as we were pulling up, I'm not going to cooperate. And so these two pretty big, but just out of shape, overweight dudes pick me up, and Joey's like, oh my God, I can just imagine them throwing out their backs, picking you up. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm a solid 200 pounds. Even right. For me, holding 100 pounds off to the side would be awkwardly. And they're maneuvering me through, swinging doors, and they set me down on a metal bench and handcuffed me to a horseshoe welded to the bench. And at some point there's a back and forth, and I'm like, look, these warrants are not extraditable. This is nonsense. This is gonna fail. This screw you guys. You are wrong. Don't care. Just the longer you take to figure this out, the more it's going to cost you, the worse it's going to be for you. And I was, pretty direct with them. And there's so much else. There's so much rich texture that, I'd love to share about interacting with them. But, I had one of them looking up my Wikipedia page while I was declining to book. At one point, I swung my leg over the horseshoe in such a way that the cuffs were in between my legs and they couldn't access them. So I did actually engage in a bit of physical resistance, which is something I've only dabbled with. Complete non-compliance is a different thing. But active defensive resistance, to not be moved or to be moved physically in your posture or something like that. That's one thing.
Can you talk for a moment about the motivation of why not? Because obviously you went along with the arrest because then they can hit you with a resisting arrest charge. But at some point you decided, all right, I'm done helping you guys. Now you're going to have to carry me. Since you'd already been arrested, I guess they can't charge you with another, they can't hit you with resisting at that point because you're under arrest. So what's the rationale? What is your motivation to go in that direction as an activist?
Well, at that point, it was, if I stay on this bench, they really can't book anybody else while I'm here. I'm like, it's such a small jail. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like that literally gumming up the works by just sitting on that one bench and straddling the horseshoe with my cuffs, with one wrist attached to that, my other hand covering the locks. And this is going to sound like a big sidebar, but I had been recently listening to this song by the Real McKenzies called My Head is Filled with Music. And it's the story of Billy Millen, the piper from Normandy in World War II, and the landing, the guy who played the freaking bagpipes while people were getting British soldiers, Scottish soldiers were getting shot by German snipers all around him, and they only didn't shoot him because they thought he was crazy. And there's a Wikipedia page on Bill Millen, and he's the feature of this song. And I've been listening, and it's a punk song. I've been listening to it, screaming along, crying to myself, thinking about my experiences as a Marine and why it's such a touching story. But to me in particular, as opposed to just the average Real McKenzie's fan listen to the song or punk enthusiast, because I see that kind of courage that he displayed, that well, I was ordered to play the freaking bagpipes and march through the gore and muck to raise the spirits of the troops. Well, if that's what I am commanded to do, then I will do it. And it makes me want to cry, because it's when you understand what war is, it's the best of humanity serving the worst of humanity. But it was just the call with absolute determination to follow that order. And to me, it was a call to conscience and a call to principle. And it was, this is wrong. I don't care what happens. I will not be a part of it.
Got it.
And so they picked me up and they carried me into the solitary cell and, gently put me down on my stomach after taking off my belt and my boots, carrying me, across the one little hallway there. And I was in a 6x9 where there was like a grate near the ceiling. There was a camera in the corner, a vent in another top corner, the standard steel sink toilet combo unit.
Yep.
With the, knows what I'm talking about. That's the same ones they got at the Keene Spiritual Retreat Center for Activists.
Sure.
And a steel bunk and a mat. I got a mattress and a couple blankets. And I was really glad that I got arrested wearing fleece-lined pants, because you can turn them inside out and roll them up into a pillow. So that was a great comfort to me while I was in there. And there's a whole battle of me going at it verbally and making noise, pounding on the steel bunk like a freaking drum, to get the other inmates to turn the television down, because it was driving me nuts. And actually, I had to listen, because like they had the TV volume on so loud, the way it carried through the halls around the corner, it was louder than I would have my TV watching it.
Well, because I was going to say, in any facility I've been in, you normally you don't have guys watching the TV right in the booking area.
It was all day.
So you were hearing this from one of their, so you were hearing this from like a cell block.
I had to listen to a World War II movie like that, and it gave me an anxiety attack. I don't want to say like, oh my God, but I have a lot of reasons, and maybe it's just pet peeves and I'm hypersensitive, but don't make me sing the jingles that I had to listen to 100 times a day. Holy crap. Mm. No, that alone like drove me nuts.
Oh yeah.
But I got earplugs eventually. And, but the first important thing in the narrative actually was before they carried me into the cell. At one point they said, hey, the officer from Center PD is going to come and write you a ticket for the mushrooms charge and let you go. And I said, yeah, that's more like it. And then they said 5 minutes later, never mind, you're going to the judge on Monday. And you know how that goes.
Rope-a-dope.
So, then I was in that solitary cell, and they came to me the next day and said, your friends put bond together for you. It's $10,000. They paid $1,500. Here's a bondsman. And this was the first hard part for me, and I had to say no.
Yeah, no. You didn't you demand a written apology before you would actually accept bond?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, stand by, Adam. We got more coming up here with Adam Kokesh, and I guess a question that I know Bonnie had was, did he actually end up getting the apology when they let him out? So stand by, we'll find out coming up here. Also, did you get the shrooms back? That's another good question. After they dropped the charges. So we'll find all that out coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
Is your broken heart stopping you from being authentically happy? My name is Jeremy West, and for a limited time, I am running a free online class to teach you what most people don't know about how to deal with your feelings, the simple way to deal with your negative thinking, the key to breaking your unhealthy relationship patterns, and so much more. No more feeling like a failure who will never find true love. No more self-medicating and ending up feeling even more miserable. And no more feeling like you'll never be someone who deserves an amazing partner. Sound good? You'll discover a new way to finally feel validated and loved. To stop trying to get your self-worth from the very people who tear it down. And to put you in control of your own happiness. So you never surrender that control to another person again in as little as 8 weeks. Register now for my free online class at beyondyourbreakup.com/free class. That's beyondyourbreakup.com/free class.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want to talk about here. Although right now calls are restricted to those who have a question for Adam Kokesh. He's been our guest for the last hour as we've been diving deep into the situation he found himself dealing with over the last couple of weeks when he was arrested in Sawatch County, Colorado, little southern county with a few thousand people living in it. As he was driving through there, and they got him for a felony charge of possession of psilocybin with intent to distribute, a couple of traffic-related stuff like not having a tag and not having a license. It's a fascinating story because they dropped the charges after he was in jail for 12 days, refused to cooperate with his captors, refused to be taken in front of the woman in a robe in the court. And so we're getting to as much of this as we can. It's just an interesting story with you tonight. It's Ian.
And the captain.
And we're going to go back to Adam Kokesh here on the line from his home in Arizona, as we were discussing with you, sort of the big question is: did you ever get the apology that you were demanding when you would? At first, they'd come to you and said, "Oh, your friends they put bail together. The bail bondsman's here," and you told this guy, "Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want the bail. I don't want the bond. I don't want to get out until I get an apology." Right?
More or less. I don't really do apologies because they're symbolic. Acknowledgement of wrongdoing, commitment to right wrongs and serve justice. If you want to call that an apology or frame that as an apology, sure. I am still hoping to get an apology for Thelma and Louise. We'll get to that. Before we jump into the story again, I want to just say thanks to everybody tuning in who's live listening right now on Christmas, taking this special day for a lot of people and regardless a sacred day for many traditions and just a great family time for so many people to join us for this, because you know, for the people who I consider my real family, it's those who share these deeper values, and there's a lot of overlap with my biological family as well, which gets me to my dad's role in the story. But first, you know, Ian, for everything that you've done, you know, in the realm of civil disobedience and in the realm of media production, you know, my hat's off to you. And it's an honor to know that this is my victory lap after a tangle with the state of this nature. And I'm really honored. And to have the opportunity to read this letter, the Kokesh Christmas letter, hopefully we'll get to it in the next segment. If we can get through this narrative, but the next part in it, communications wise, I was able to use the one phone call I demanded. And because I was declining to book, I got to use a secure phone, which is like the regular jail phone, as opposed to the special eavesdrop inmate phone. Of course, NSA is listening to everything, but at least this one isn't, you know, ostensibly being recorded. So I called my dad And I knew that he was plugged into my Telegram channel and that he could put a comment there at least explaining that I'd been arrested in the circumstances and that I was asking just for people to call the Sawatch County Jail and to just to demand that I be released. Mm-hmm. And make sure that they knew that there was that scrutiny on it from the get-go, at least. So my dad played a critical role there. He got that message out, and that's where Joey picked it up. And my team of dedicated Adam versus the Man enthusiasts in our producers club, who are my Patreon patrons, sponsors, they all jumped on this right away and did an amazing job bringing that scrutiny. And my bond was automatically set based on the nature of the charges at $10,000, which came out to a $1,500 bill with a bondsman. And Emily Goldberg, who's the chair of the Arizona Libertarian Party, big shout out to her and Joey for putting that together. And they came and I refused. I declined to take bond because that's a submission to an acknowledgement of their authority. When you say my freedom has the price tag on it that you put on it, and I will pay that price, and I will acknowledge that I am accountable to your authority for these charges and will sign documents to that effect. And I was like, already just hearing that call from principal, you know, I didn't know until later. I honestly did not look up till after I left the jail that I was facing on that one felony two charge 8 to 24 years. And as a convicted felon, probably on the higher side of that. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like, you know, hey, if you don't look off the edge of the cliff, you're less likely to fall.
Okay, that's true.
So I figured the odds of an absolute loss on that count and a conviction were pretty low. But I did have a sense of the stakes at that point. They had given me the paperwork, the affidavit of warrantless arrest from arresting officer Christian Guadarrama, that explained the sequence of events from his perspective. His recollection seems to differ from mine on a few key minor points, but that's besides the point for the narrative right now. But they came in, and then the captain of the jail came in himself, Captain Wilson, to try to convince me to take bond. Well, you're better at fighting this on the outside. I'm gonna sit here till you figure this out and you decide to do the right thing. Well, if I like, and I told him to his face, every minute that I'm in here, your bill for accountability with me goes up. And I said, I knew from just walking through the part of the jail that I had and what I had heard already at that point that they were operating so under budget and understaffed that by federal guidelines, they were operating illegally in a number of ways. And I told that to the jail captain's face that Saturday evening, the second day I was in there, like, nah, you guys are already on the hook for so much crap with me. You are going to be paying for this one way or another. The sooner you figure out how to do the right thing, the better it's going to be for you. So then court came around. I should say, they even put Emily on the phone with me. They handed me, and I'm in this solitary cell that's a steel door with a window at like eye height. And I'm, you know, just over average. I'm like, you know, 5'10". And it was just comfortable for me to see through. And it was a window of metal slits about the size of a piece of paper with one bar missing in the there are two bars out in the lower half so that you could pass a tray of food through it. Mm-hmm. That was my world for 12 days, that whole thing, and talking to people through that window and pointing my finger at the captain of the jail being like, oh, you dumb sucker. This is not, you don't know what you just stepped into, but I tell you what, man, you want to dance? Let's dance. And I just was complete non-cooperative except for demanding my rights. Monday rolled around and they said, it's time for court. And I was laying in bed naked and I said, no thanks. And they were like, what? Yeah.
That's great, man.
And this is just so, for them, this never happens, right? Like, to have somebody not want to go to, you know, to leave the cell, to not want to go in front of a man or a woman in a robe who could wave their magic wand and let them out on some sort of PR bond or whatever. This is usually the first opportunity that anybody gets to get out of the cell, and you're just saying, nah, I'm fine here.
It reminds me of these alien sci-fi things where the alien, you know, eventually gets caught up and arrested somehow and does all these bizarre things because it's not accustomed to the things that we are.
Yeah, and the guards don't know how to react to something like this because it just doesn't happen.
It doesn't compute for them. So the next thing is I did get a pencil and paper, one of those, you know, half-length jail pencils. Mm-hmm. And the way... They were so disorganized with inmate requests. Like, no, I'm not waiting a day and a half for you to get the pencil sharpener. I'm going to sharpen this with my thumbnail and I'm going to write what I need to write. And so, they told me that my court had been rescheduled for Wednesday.
Yeah, I actually was listening to the hearing, and the judge, who seemed like a very young judge, just I didn't get to see her picture, but the voice sounded very young, and she just, Mr. Kokesh doesn't want to come out of his cell? Okay, well, we'll put this off. Even though she could have simply just put in a plea of not guilty on your behalf, I suspect. I doubt you would actually have needed to appear in front of her, but she wanted to give you another chance to make your appearance. We'll continue here with Adam Kokesh. Yeah, exactly. Plus, you've got a letter that you want to share with us here in moments. More with Adam Kokesh from Adam Versus the Man on his latest jail odyssey in Sawatch County, Colorado. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, live Saturday show, live Christmas Day edition of the program. With a special guest, Adam Kokesh from Adam Versus the Man and Homefront Battle Buddies at homefrontbattlebuddies.org. Coming back from a meetup with some friends in Colorado and Utah, he was pulled over. They found some psilocybin, he admits to this, that was essentially ground up in pill form. And they put him in a jail cell for 12 days before ultimately dropping the charges. And this was actually after the charges got dropped roughly a week after he sent a letter to the judge in this particular case, whom he never actually appeared in front of. So on you're about to tell us that on the Monday, she, you know, you didn't appear. You said, I don't want to leave the cell. You weren't cooperating with the police. They didn't want to carry you out. So, you know, you just stayed there. She delayed the next court hearing until 2 days later. So that Wednesday, you also did not leave the cell and they did not force you in front of the judge. And at that point, she put off the next hearing to another week out. But you also that same day handed a handwritten letter to be delivered to the judge, correct?
Yes. Yes. And this is where I would want to just pass it right back to you, because the next critical point in the narrative is that on Wednesday, when they said it's time for court, I was again in my bunk naked, and then handed this letter. I reached up to that little slot and passed it out and was like, here, you can give this to the judge. And that was it.
And in that letter, which you read actually on a phone call,
one more thing here, that morning I was like, hey, I'm a pro se defendant. I have court today. I demand one phone call for legal purposes for consultation without it being a monitored jail line. And so, of course, I just called Joey and recorded this message. And I heard your coverage and I was so honored that you dedicated so much airtime to it when I was still locked up at that point. But yeah, yesterday I listened to the show that you recorded about it while I was locked up. So, well, what did you think of that letter to the judge?
I thought it was fantastic. And for listeners that don't know, this was, I think, our Thursday show, 2 weeks ago now or something like that? Maybe it was a week ago. When did you get out? It was earlier this week, right?
It would have been Thursday
last week,
a week before last. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we played the full message, the full letter. You read it out loud over this phone call, and we played the whole thing. And I thought it was great because it did sound like you kind of admitted to the psilocybin there in the letter. You cited your church, which we haven't even really touched on yet, and I think it's worth talking about. And the pronunciation, you said Oklavoya is how you pronounce it?
Oklavoya, yeah.
Oklavoya.
Yeah, I want to get through the end of this narrative. By the end of this segment, so I can read the next letter, which is very important.
Yeah, but you brought up your religious objection, and you're like, hey, look, this is my religion. You guys are prosecuting me for it. This is ridiculous. Yeah. And, you know, less than a week later, the charges were dropped.
And the letter was in layman's terms, signed in my – I do a real-life pirate cosplay as Captain Freebeard. So
yeah, that was the first time I'd heard that.
Yeah, people started calling me that and said I should have a cosplay character, and then I was like, well,
title of captain.
If I'm gonna do that,
I might as well
be a pirate in real life.
Where'd you come up with that idea, Adam? Where'd you come up with the idea?
Yeah.
So I love it, man.
My truck at the end of this is a really important part of the story because it really well. We'll get to that, but so at court Wednesday, I sent. In layman's terms, this letter that was basically like, you're wrong. Stop it. You know, mm-hmm. And this is why I'm doing it. And I was talking about Johnny Hurley, you know, that cops who shoot first and ask questions later are a menace to the public and themselves and need to be taken off the street. And that's what happened here. And they obviously didn't like that. So she rescheduled for a following week. I was like, oh, and you heard on the call. She was super nice or maybe just passed over, didn't get this point, but he was like, oh, all right, well, if he doesn't want to cooperate, he can just sit in jail for another week.
Yep.
You know, which is you know guilty until proven innocent, and it's a kind of, you know, inhumane
typical power move by a judge.
Yeah. And I don't want to ascribe too much intentionality to her because I don't know her motives or if it was an automatic thing or if it was that's just the next date. And because it's a very small county.
Yep.
Right, 6,300 something people.
Yeah, this is like a regional court. I think it serves multiple counties or something.
Yeah. So anyway, then I start negotiating, and I spend all night when the other inmates were messing me with the TV volume. I mean, I don't know what you've been told about this, Ian, but I was told once, you know, when you go to jail, if you get to general population, the first thing you do is find the biggest dude you can and beat him up so that I mean, I can't say the A word on the radio, I know, but
you earn your respect, right?
Yeah. And then they know you're the toughest guy in the yard, and then the rest of your time is easy. And since I was in solitary, the only way I could do that was pound on my bunk two nights in a row and deny everybody within earshot any sleep. So I basically did that for like the entire jail because it's a 20-person jail.
I'll tell you this, it does not make the people in the jail like you if you do that crap.
Right, but I actually won their support by the end of it, and they gave me their names, and it was important in that letter, as you noticed, I cited Christopher or Nicholas Hamill and Ron Paulson, who were witness to this guard's inappropriate behavior threatening me with extra charges and trying to use them for that by saying I was harassing them. Mm. And then they sent me books. So I think I won them over by, you know, audio kicking their butts by just denying the entire jail sleep for a night and a half. But that's a whole other sidebar to this story. But eventually the sheriff himself came in and I spoke with him. At one point I was visited by John Hoag, who's a public defender there, who said he was just inspired by my letter enough that he had to meet me and requested that I talk to him. You know, I made it very clear from the beginning I'm going pro se, but I would welcome your advice and input. And he gave me the technical information to properly write up a motion to dismiss and to request discovery and a meeting with the district attorney under Colorado Criminal Procedure Rule 16. And I didn't know that stuff, but they must have seen those documents that I sent out Friday. I handed them to one of the guards and said, this, please copy, send electronically to the DA. And this, please copy digitally and send to the judge. The motion goes to the judge, to the court filing, and also to the
DA.
So
you did file a motion to dismiss after the letter that you had sent?
I legally filed on Friday a handwritten but technically cited proper motion to dismiss, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it cited the improper behavior of the cops, the search and seizure violation, the timeliness of the charges, which was another thing suggested by Mr. Hoag, and he gave me the proper legal citations for that, and the religious defense specifically on the mushroom charges, and the right to travel specifically on the no plates, no insurance charges.
You've got a letter that you've written up that has yet to be presented anywhere. You're going to share that with us coming up here in moments, correct?
Yes, sir.
Adam Kokesh is with us here. The continuing story of what happened to him over the last couple of weeks behind bars in a little jail in Sawatch County, Colorado, for total BS victimless crimes. Well, coming up, this is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. Video.freetalklive.com. It's Free Talk Live. You join us here. The questions for Adam Kokesh will be given priority at 603-283-6160. We're in the midst of a lengthy discussion, diving deep into what happened to him after he was arrested on the side of the road in Sawatch County, Colorado, for possession of psilocybin. That's the active chemical in psychedelic mushrooms. On the side of the road there, he got charged with not just possession of, but also with intent to distribute, which takes it to, you know, yeah, a pretty serious felony in that case. But it's his religion. It's his, you know, religious sacrament, essentially. And it's something that he was intending to share with veterans to help them, you know, overcome things like PTSD. That's part of his new mission in what he's founded called Homefront Battle Buddies. Homefrontbattlebuddies.org. We're going to continue with Adam Kokesh. But I also want to say thanks to Alex, who is a gold-level supporter of the Free Talk Live Amps Patreon. So it's something that we launched just a couple of months ago after we had to blow up our old website and blow up the old AMP program because, well, our credit card provider decided they wanted to stop doing business with us for some reason. I don't know. Maybe the FBI raid had something to do with that, but they didn't say why. So anyway, we're over there at AMPS, amps.freetalklive.com. They'll take you right over to our Patreon and you can sign up just like Alex did. He's at gold level, which means he's doing 10 bucks a month at least. So thank you, Alex. And thank you everybody for supporting what we do here. And thank you, Adam Kokesh, for coming on for an extended level, interview here on this topic. And, I appreciate your activism. Appreciate your courage, while in the clutches of the status. And let's see, where were we here? We were talking about being held and filing motions.
Well, as I can only say to a handful of other people on this earth on that count, right back at you, brother. And yeah, we can kind of cut to the chase now because I really want to get to this letter of follow-up. I mean, obviously, we all know this ended pretty well.
Before you get to the letter, though, I want to know, like, the day you got out. Yeah, because you've been refusing to leave the cell when you were called for court. What was it like when they showed up to your cell to say, all right, you're out of here?
I was like, well, okay. So, I mean, I'll get to – so, I mean, then it was, you know, I waited another weekend. And then on Monday, the captain came to me and said, we're going to have a meeting the next day with the sheriff and the DA. And so I spent all day preparing notes for that meeting in my cell, like, mm-hmm. while I was reading books. And – I had gotten into a pretty good routine. They were feeding me pretty solid vegan food. I was kind of basic, you know, GMO corn syrup type stuff. I got a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. But they did feed me vegan, and the two women, Deb and Lori, shout out to them. They do an outstanding job with a nothing budget, trying to take care of the inmates there. You know, I got into routine doing yoga and working out naked every evening, which is kind of nice. I came up with a new yoga pose. It only works if you're doing yoga naked with someone watching you on a camera. It's called Two Birds on a Flower. You take plow pose and then extend your hands downwards away from you and in fists, and then extend your middle fingers and attach one to either of your butt cheeks and pull them apart. I got to do that every day before dinner. Did a little calisthenics routine, you know, kind of a body weight split to try to mimic my weight routine that I do when I'm not in jail. And I was getting really comfortable, actually. Finally had a chance to talk to the nurse. She got me on multivitamins and my allergy meds and a probiotic. I was like, yeah, cool.
Well, settling then, in for the long haul. All right.
Yeah, I'm ready to go to, you know, pro se jury trial from custody. You want to dance? Let's dance. And you're going to have a spotlight on you the whole time. And I'm guaranteed to make this cost way more than it's worth to you to keep messing with me. And before the meeting even happened, they folded. The DA filed a motion on Tuesday at some point before the scheduled hearing Wednesday. And my motion had been filed before, and I had not gotten any response to that. Mm-hmm. So they sidestepped it. There might have been some procedural violation there. But the district attorney or assistant district attorney handling the case filed a motion to have the case dismissed because they weren't prosecuting. They were saying we're declining to file charges. And I was ready to sit in that jail cell and make him carry me out of there again, because I was like, well, I want my truck and my mushrooms back, because I don't know how you screw people on that. What's it going to cost to get my truck out of impound? And they came to me with these papers that said it was dismissed. Mm-hmm. Case dismissed, big capital letters in this little jail.
And that's all the charges, the felony distribution, the no tag, no license charges.
Yeah.
Okay.
All charges. Case dismissed. Now, I was without prejudice, so hypothetically they can bring it all back, but I'm going to address that in this letter that I want to read.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm honestly like submitting this for your review. But finally, to wrap up the story, Sergeant Brubaker came back to me in the cell and said, and it was like, because I didn't jump out of the cell like most inmates did. I sat back and was like, huh, okay, so now if I want to stay here, I have to make you carry me again, or I have to like wedge myself under the bunk or something like that. Okay. All right. Cause I got a few cards left to play. If you're going to, and then he came to me and said, I'm going to give you a courtesy ride back to your truck. And it's a 40-minute drive away to the tow yard.
Okay.
That's already like pretty close to an apology.
That's better than cutting you out the side door and saying good luck.
Yeah.
So. Right. And he said, yeah, we're going to make sure you get your cell phone and your wallet and all your other confiscated property from Center Police Department.
And the mushrooms?
And I said, not quite. But he said I said, am I going to get my truck for free? Are you going to make me pay for impound towing and all that? Because it would have been a couple $1,000s probably.
Right.
And I'm like, no, I'm not going to like if I can stop you right now from getting away with holding my truck for ransom, then I'm going to do it. And he looked me in the eye and said, have I lied to you yet? Sheriff's Department's going to pick up the tab. And wow. I was like, I looked at him, I squinted at him for a moment. And he reached out his hand. I shook his hand. I said, all right, let's see if you mean it. And he gave me a ride. And halfway back, we met in an unmarked car with a Center Police Department officer who gave him a box of my stuff that had my silver coins and my baboon skull.
Okay.
And a few other funny little odds and ends. They took my weed out of the container and then put it in an evidence bag and gave that back to me.
Okay.
They took the psilocybin capsules out of the sealed envelope and gave me the envelope back in an evidence bag as well. It was really weird. They kind of knew they screwed up.
Mm.
Um, So then they drove me back to my truck. I got my truck. And the next day I went to Center PD, walked in there, and Joey recording it, streaming it. I demanded the mushrooms back and my vitamins that they also took, I think, and probably just forgot to put back. And they said, we'll get back to you. So, and then I called the DA and asked for a phone appointment with the DA handling my case and didn't hear back. So given all of that, I've decided to write this Christmas letter. I'll just launch into it. It'll probably take us into the next segment. So
all right, sure.
Cut me off.
Yep.
But I want you to know, Ian and Captain Kickass as well, that like I haven't sent this yet. I was thinking about sending it before the show. And if you tell me not to, I'm open to your counsel.
Okay.
Or if you think there's something to fundamentally change here, or any of your listeners perhaps. But if not, I'm going to go fire this off to all the relevant parties right after the show here.
Okay.
So this is dated Christmas Day, December 25th, 2021, on the Captain Freebeard letterhead. Dear friends, people of Sawatch County, District Attorney Alonzo Payne, Sheriff Dan Warwick, Chief Dale Meek, Sergeant Aaron Fresquez, Sergeant Adam Fresquez, and Officer Christian Guadarrama. Merry Christmas, blessed solstice, happy Festivus, and season's greetings to all. My name is Adam Kogish, and I recently spent 12 days in solitary confinement in the Sawatch County Jail thanks to the actions of three officers for the Center Police Department on December 10th.
We're going to continue with the letter. Stand by. Adam Kokesh is with us. He's got a letter for his captors. And my initial thought, without having heard any of this yet, is if there is still a newspaper in existence in the county, I'd CC them on a copy of this as well. More coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live. We got Adam Kokesh with us. It's Free Talk Live. Phones here. If you want to join us, if you got a question for Adam Kokesh, you can dial at 603-283-6160. He's got a letter that he's written to the various different prosecutors, jailers, police officers, the people in Sawatch County, Colorado, who held him for 12 days of his life behind bars and then ultimately dropped the charges.
Can we call it the 12 days of Cagemas? just occurred to me.
Yeah, well, it was right before Christmas time. In fact, I think you said, Adam, you got out on the solstice, on the 21st. And
so
you were just getting into the sort of introductory portion of the letter that you have yet to send. So it's in the final, final draft format here, and you're sharing it with our listeners first. So let's jump into it.
The three officers involved showed reckless disregard for the law, my rights, and the best interests of the people they supposedly serve. Having now beaten the charges I was falsely accused of, I have a pack of rabid dog civil rights attorneys drooling over this case, ready to sue all of those involved for everything you're worth. Even if I were to lose the cases for wrongful search and seizure, property damage, wrongful imprisonment, injury sustained, rights violations, and many more possibilities, it would cost me nothing to pursue those cases, and you would lose at least thousands of dollars worth of resources and labor hours fighting me off. I don't want to go that way, so with this letter, I present an alternative. In exchange for sparing you this, I only ask that you, one, provide $2,400 for the material damages done to my truck and logistics costs. Two, provide me with all records regarding the case to which I'm legally entitled under Rule 16 of Colorado Criminal Procedure, including body camera footage and all recorded related correspondence. Three, return the remaining property you took from me, including the psilocybin capsules. Mm. Four, have a motion granted to get the dismissal of my case upgraded to with prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
Five, never jail anyone in the county for simple drug possession ever again, and adjust policy everywhere relevant to ensure it never happens again. Yes, Sawatch will be a decrim county on par with policy in Oregon. Six, get your act together when it comes to inmate requests at the jail for things like clothing, pencils, paper, hygiene products, and showers. Get your act together providing a decent library and exercise opportunities for inmates. Get your priorities straight and provide greater a greater portion of your jail budget for food for inmates. 7, institute a compassionate booking process that ensures immediate access to everything inmates are entitled to, especially healthcare, mental health screening, and legal consultation. 8, create a veteran liaison position to designate someone to consult with every military veteran who enters Sawatch County Jail as an inmate. 9, immediately release everyone in the Sawatch County Jail who is there for victimless crimes unless you have a specific reason to believe they are an immediate, clear, and present threat to the community. 10, adjust policy everywhere relevant in the county to reflect respect for all Americans' right to travel without harassment by law enforcement and our Fourth Amendment rights to privacy. 11, have the 3 officers responsible make a personal written apology to my dogs, Thelma and Louise, for the abuse they experienced, with a commitment to all dogs that it won't happen again. 12, adjust policy to ensure that animals seized by law enforcement in the county are treated humanely. And 13, finally, all good things come in 13s. Send a copy of this letter to every law enforcement officer in the county and post a copy in the bulletin board / employee notice area in every government building in the county until every item on this list is completed. If you have any questions, you know how to get a hold of me. If you do not have this letter mounted in every building by close of business on Monday, January 3rd, I will take it as a rejection of my magnanimous offer. If you choose to reject this offer, all funds that I generate from lawsuits will be used to create an endowment for my nonprofit, Homefront Battle Buddies, to fund scholarships for veterans from Sawatch County to experience psilocybin at our facility in Arizona. All of the policy adjustments that I'm requesting are compassionate, revenue-positive reforms that are in everyone's best interests. I'm open to negotiation and revising this letter. I look forward to hearing from y'all one way or another, but if I don't, you'll be hearing from me. Yours truly, Captain Freebeard, friend of humanity, brother, freedom lovers, a.k.a. Adam Kokesh, February 1st, 1982, former Sergeant of Marines.
Arr. Well, you got him on the ropes, Captain. Way to go. That was fantastic. I can't imagine they're going to say yes to it. Like the more points it went through, the less likely it seems that they're going to
Wouldn't it be great if they did? Like, if he sends a letter and they're just like, oh, yeah, okay, sure. Like, wouldn't that be great?
But it's going to be interesting to see what, you know, direction they decide to go with on this. And I presume that you do intend to honor your promise to come after them.
All I have to do is make a couple phone calls.
Okay.
I will rain down with activism upon thee.
Yeah, I mean, these are kind of juicy civil rights and personal damage cases that I have mm-hmm. on my hands.
And
here.
It's a small county, so they exactly. don't have the kind of resources that Denver exactly. or some major area right. would.
Yep.
I'm more likely to get them to once again, as I did with my case on all of these counts, do the right thing mm-hmm. than just follow procedure. And if it was Denver County, yeah, maybe just file a couple lawsuits and negotiate down and get a few $10,000 and
right.
use it for good, you know, Robin Hood with it and be done with it. Right. But here I don't, if I sue them and even if I lose, I become a major pain in the butt and a detriment to the well-being of the people in that county. But if the government decides to do the right thing, then, you know, I will be the one shining a light, holding up the mirror as Johnny Hurley did to the police so famously, and say, no, look, you're freaking wrong. And I will shine the light. I will bring the spotlight. I will hold the mirror. And one way or another, you will be held to account for your actions, even if it means I got to sit in solitary confinement and keep everybody in your jail awake every freaking night until you figure it out.
I want to go to John in Delaware. He's got a question for you, Adam. John, you're on with Adam Kokesh. Go ahead.
Yeah, Adam. I mean, if you could put a value on one single day of your life where you wake up and you get to choose what you want to do with your day, your own free will, what price would you put on that day? Would you say it's priceless?
Freedom is priceless, absolutely.
So take that and times that by a dozen. There's not enough money in the world that could ever reimburse somebody for 12 days of their life being taken away for some mushrooms that grow right out of Mother Earth. These people are ridiculous, man. I've been dealing with this kind of crap my whole entire life since I was 14 years old. I've been incarcerated so many times I lost count for violations of probation for smoking marijuana. I've done time here, there, and everywhere, and something needs to be done. If there isn't a victim, bro, there isn't a crime.
Thank you, John, for the call tonight. Go ahead, Adam. Any comments on that?
Amen. Yeah, and Ian, this is one of the things that makes me so honored for the opportunity to speak to you specifically tonight is that, you know, GI Mary Jane here is like, oh, my God, you figured out the formula and the drug war. This is it. All you have to do is, like, not comply. Don't play their game. Just make them take care of you. And it's true. And I pointed this out in the letter to the judge that you aired my recording of last week that said, you know, if everybody did this, the drug war would be over tomorrow.
Yep.
It would be untenable. They need your compliance. So why give it to them?
Yeah, and it would have been a really untenable case for them because, as you pointed out in your letter, this is a religious exemption to whatever the law says. So regardless of the immorality of their laws, there have actually been some interesting cases, and one of them was here in New Hampshire where your church, which is the Oklevuia Church, it's spelled O-K-L-E-V-U-E-H-A. It's a Native American church. There was a man here in New Hampshire who was arrested for mushrooms. He appealed the case to the Supreme Court, and there was a unanimous decision by the Supreme Court of New Hampshire saying, overturn this case. This man was his religious freedom to use this, and yeah. I mean, it was an amazing decision. That just happened a year ago here in New Hampshire, so it's not the only case the Oklevuia Church has been dealing with nationwide for decades, right?
Right. And one of the things that I've taken this as a sign for now is that it is part of my calling as an activist to declare proudly and openly that we are growing mushrooms here in Gardenia, me personally and volunteers with me, in order to, in the context of our nonprofit, as the facilitator, distribute them to veterans. And just, yeah, come at me, bro. You will not get this one past a jury. In 2021, there are too many compassionate, enlightened Americans.
And I think that's part of that went into their decision making here on this. They must have known this would have been a pointless thing for them to bring. They knew you were going to go to a jury trial, and they knew it wasn't going to pass muster. Do you want to stay and talk about the church a little bit, or do you have to run?
Absolutely.
More with Adam Kokesh, because this is also a really interesting aspect of this case. And we'll continue with, what is the Oklevuia Church? What do they believe? It's Free Talk Live.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. Physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101ReasonsFilm.com. 101ReasonsFilm.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want here. We're going to get to open phones here in a little bit. We've been doing an extended deep dive interview here with Adam Kokesh. It's rare that we have guests on this show, and it's even more rare that we spend more than an hour with a guest. So he's an exceptional guest, and in a lot of ways, we've had him on a number of times. What probably maybe the most common guest of Free Talk Live, meaning that he's been on more often than any other guest of ours, and again, we don't have a lot of them. So.
You know, his activism, though, kind of, you know, it precedes him.
It's outstanding. It is noteworthy. It is worthy of discussion, And he's joining us from his home in Arizona after spending 12 days in Sawatch County Jail in Sawatch County, Colorado, for possession of psilocybin with intent to distribute, which they subsequently dismissed and let him out of jail. He still hasn't gotten his written apology, among other things. He's going to be sending an interesting offer, a letter to them with a few demands.
13.
And so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. But I wanted to get into the religious aspect of this case, because I think that was probably one of the cruxes of why they ended up dropping these charges. The Oklavoya Church, and their website is NativeAmericanChurches.org. I think it's a related website to them that's got a lot of information about that particular church. They've been around for some number of decades. They've had a bunch of cases go through various different courts all mm-hmm. around the country. How did you find out about them, Adam Kokesh? And, you know, why'd you join? Give us your history with the church.
I have been a member for about 5 years from when I came out here to Arizona, which was preceding even decriminalization of cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted that extra level of legal protection. And they had a deal for veterans. I think it was $200 for non-vets and $20 for vets. So $20, I got a card in the mail. I looked at their website, and the religious precepts that, you know, you swear a statement of, authentic subscription to, I forget the exact wording. There's a legal term, you know,
yeah.
It's all a very beautiful, you know, naturalist, you know, humanist philosophy that I really do believe in. I have no problem, swearing with integrity that I believe in the precepts of the Native American, the Oklavoya Native American Church, as laid out on their website. And I'm happy to pay them for, you know, taking care of the administrative side of things, of having filed the paperwork and, asserted it specifically. And I had a case in Texas where I had 4 felonies and a misdemeanor, and I filed a motion to dismiss that was completely focused on the religious defense. And it also said that I was a self-proclaimed Wiccan. And I've made this public. It's a story I told in a speech at the First Church of Cannabis in Missouri, actually. And soon after I got out on that one, where I also did 10 days of kind of non-compliance, but basically I folded when they reduced the bond to zero.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably shouldn't have. Now I think about it, you know, I might've been able to see it all the way through. And, you know, this time I really did. So the, you know, precepts of the church, though, should not be required for anybody to be able to use this defense and this general strategy of noncompliance plus scrutiny.
No, I tend to agree. I mean, you shouldn't have to join someone else's church, but it is nice having an established organization that has been around since, I don't know when they were founded. I think it's been some number of decades. It doesn't hurt to have them on your side.
Right.
And, you know, they do come with some rules that you have to follow. I believe the Oklavoya does require that you not just be handing out psilocybin to children. You have to agree to do it in your own private property to take that sort of thing, right? Like, there's a few different agreements that you go along
with. And I think also, unfortunately, one of the limitations, although this, if this is the next line in the battle in the war on drugs that we got to draw, it also only applies to naturally occurring substances.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
But that gives you a certain point of inarguability that
yes.
separates you from, you know, meth and heroin and,
right.
and maybe some of the more dangerous synthetic drugs. However, I'm a big proponent, not just of psilocybin and ayahuasca and DMT and, you know, a host of other naturally occurring alternative therapies, but to non-naturally occurring ones. MDMA as a therapy drug has shown incredible promise for PTSD, and ketamine for depression. So I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to making those available, whether it's legal or not, here as well.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying there, though. And as far as the the sort of the political trends of the time. It definitely seems like, as far as Denver and now I think Ann Arbor and at some cities out in California, we are seeing a trend of places where in a lot of cases it's unanimous, like city council decisions to say, okay, yeah, we're going to stop arresting people for not only possessing mushrooms, but also for any sort of plant or fungi, any kind of natural, naturally occurring substance. We're no longer going to have our police focusing on those things. And I believe it was Ann Arbor did it, and then Detroit. Detroit also voted for this. So there is a bit of a trend in this sort of decriminalized nature way. There's an organization now called Decriminalized Nature that is advocating that the government just step out of the way, leave people alone, let people grow this stuff, let them distribute it. Don't create licenses. Just let nature be.
Yeah.
And let people use it.
And there are occasionally law enforcement people who listen to this particular radio show. If you are out there, you don't need to wait for your higher ups to tell you.
Stop being a giant dick.
Right. Yeah. You can actually go ahead and stop arresting people for victimless crimes right now.
Yeah.
It's the one solution whenever law enforcement calls this show and asks, well, what should we do? Well, to improve the image of the police. Well, the first thing you do is you get together with all your blue buddies and you stop arresting people for victimless crimes.
Stop being a dick, and people won't hate you for being a dick.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Go figure.
We actually had this week, we haven't covered it yet on Free Talk Live, but one of the antagonists from Derek Jay's Victimless Crime Spree, a movie that that actually has you at least at one point towards the end in it at victimlesscrimespree.com. One of the antagonists, one of the police officers, came out this week publicly and made a statement against the mask mandates, of which they just passed another one here in Keene recently, and he spoke out and basically called the city council bad guys and said that people need to disobey. So the very guy who was arresting people for victimless crimes a decade ago is now speaking out and advocating for mass civil disobedience. And it's like, well, maybe we had an influence on him. I don't know.
Yep. You know, at one point when I was locked up in, I really had an overwhelming moment of despair, which for me took the form of I'm gonna quit after this. You know, maybe I'll play this out, maybe I'll just bond out. And I even wrote up letters in my head to people who have donated to my causes, you know, over the years, and been like, you know what, it's time for me to pass the torch. I'm gonna, you know, maybe make some babies and art and music and gardenia at my homestead, and, you know, leave the activism to the next generation, but thanks for investing in me. And then, you know, I had that song, you know, my head is filled with music, and I thought of Billy Millen. Just no, you just, it doesn't matter if you heed a higher calling. You know, I while I was in there, you said did religious aspects of this. It wasn't just that, but I feel like for the first time in my life, about to be 40 years old, I finally spoke to God. And for me, I don't believe in the personified God external from the universe. I believe that love is my religion, like Ziggy Marley, the other song going around in my head, that God itself is the vibration of love that makes the universe one, that unites us, and you can tune into it, and you can speak to it, and you can gain wisdom from it, and energy from it, and strength from it. And it was some point in coming through that despair of wanting to give up that I just said, no, I have to hear this higher calling, and I have to listen to it, and I have to obey it like an order, because it is the voice of principle and reason and compassion.
It's gorgeous. Beautiful stuff. Yeah, I had a similar kind of experience recently when I was in jail for almost not quite three months, but for more than 2 months in federal custody, basically. And I definitely was getting some very interesting messages in the books that I was reading as well that really kind of stuck out to me as like, you need to pay attention to this. There's more coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live. Is Free Talk Live, and we're going to open up the phones at this point. Adam Kokesh is actually going to stick with us.
Nice.
And just basically co-host with us here for the rest of the show tonight. It is Ian and the Captain in the studio. And by the way, kudos to Jitsi. I'll give him credit where credit's due. It's a great little open source video conferencing app that we're using to connect with Adam. That's why he sounds like he's not been sounding like he's
free?
On the phone. It's free. It's open source. So, you know, a lot of people use Zoom. That's run by a Chinese corporation.
I don't equate open source to free. I don't know why.
Usually open source is free.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm aware of any open source stuff that isn't free. Some of it might have like paid support, like for instance Linux, I think is
right
is that. But anyway, if you've been using these centralized authority kind of Zooms or Microsofts get off that crap and get over to Jitsi, JITSI. They do really great open source free conference calling, and it's just fantastic. So that's what we're doing here tonight, and we've been talking in detail about what happened with Adam getting arrested in Sawatch County, Colorado. If you missed the conversation, if you're just tuning in right now on the radio, grab this archive later tonight because we go into great detail about it in the first couple hours of the show. And what we've been covering right now is kind of the religious aspect of psilocybin and other psychedelic or entheogenic drugs out there, and not just all the natural substances. Obviously, there's LSD, which is more of a manufactured thing. MDMA, of course, more of an empathogen, as they call it, because it's more of an empathetic sensation that comes with that. A lot of these things can be beneficial in a lot of different ways. That's something that you're helping roll out with Homefront Battle Buddies, Adam. And that's the last time we had you on the show. We talked in detail about what that's all about. It's bringing veterans to essentially a retreat that you're creating there at your compound in Arizona, and giving people an opportunity to address at a very deep level with some of these substances, some of the deep-seated issues that they've, you know, have created inside themselves after being, you know, forced into horrifying situations by the U.S. government, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I would hope that eventually we could create a sister organization to serve law enforcement officers as well.
Mm.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. So we were talking about your experience in jail. You'd mentioned this was your first time ever after being in, you know, these, as you say, government induced spiritual retreats. We always call it the spiritual retreat here in Keene, but you added the government induced, which I think is pretty entertaining. But the first time you spoke with God, was it during a meditation session inside your cell? What was the circumstance around that, if you want to talk about it?
Yeah. It was coming out of that moment of despair, recognizing that was wrong, that it just felt like defeat, and I'm not ready to give up, and I don't ever plan to give up. And one of the epiphanies that I had on more of a political level is one that I really think was more of a personal existential crisis about my activism and my career and turning 40 years old. But I have been asking, like with COVID, how much of this is a depopulation strategy? How much of that is overblown? How, you know, like it's not, is it bad and evil, but like, what is the context of it? And the major epiphany that came to me on that in jail is that everything we see right now, and this was in that letter that I wrote to the judge on Wednesday, because it was also a letter addressed to the public, that the time of crisis that we are in right now reflects the desperation of the elites or the ruling class or the several hundred or several thousand most powerful people in the world.
Sure.
Well, it's not a conspiracy. There are those people. So to what extent they are pulling the strings and to what ends is certainly open to debate, but not that they exist, not that they're responsible for what we're experiencing with COVID policy, what we're experiencing with fighting against Bitcoin and crypto adoption, or trying to control it. The oppressive COVID policies overall, again, I say it very carefully worded that way, regardless of what you think the virus is or the threat or what's behind the vaccines, the oppressive COVID policies, you cannot argue with that with any credibility, especially knowing the last point here that what we're experiencing includes an obscene, historically unprecedented consolidation of wealth, at least on paper. And it's Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and a dozen other people you've never heard of at their level, and another 100 people maybe at the next tier below them. But these are the people who really pull the strings in society, and they are getting much, 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 much richer. What we are seeing in what I lay out there, those are not just the routine actions of a system that is set up and designed to make the rich richer at the expense of the rest of us. It is a set of acts of desperation of people who know that their time is coming to an end.
Yeah, well, that's definitely true when it comes to the government gang, their banker buddies, and these industry goons. Although I got to give Elon Musk some credit, because he recently, and it wasn't the first time he said this, but recently he got some more press over it, saying, just came right out in an interview and said the government is the largest corporation and it has a monopoly on violence. In fact, he even did, and I haven't watched all of the interview yet, but he did like an hour and a half long interview with the guys from the Babylon Bee recently.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of that content either. But Adam, what you're saying is not only true, but it is going to get worse, in my opinion. Why do I say that? Well, because as these people figure out that, you know, for the first time, there's decentralized infrastructure, you know, the blockchain, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, stuff like that, that can't be taken down by a state, right? As soon as that grows to a significant enough point, they are going to start flailing, right? Like a child who hasn't gotten their way. No, right? So the things that the state does is going to become worse, in my opinion, as time goes on, as they flail and continue to flail at even greater and greater
amounts.
I think
dinosaur in the tar pits is a little more accurate, right? Because a child's not going to do as much damage as a dinosaur is going, if you get near that thing.
Sure.
I think all those metaphors are apt descriptors, but it's important to point out the perspective that they are deliberately distracting from the fact that they are becoming less and less relevant. That even while perhaps the proportion of wealth distribution gets more distorted, the quality of life for the average working American blows away that of any human beings that have ever existed on the face of this earth in terms of quality of life. And yeah, we're in a step backwards in a lot of ways. I'm not going to argue with the immediate circumstances, but the bigger historical trend is absolutely clear. And they are becoming just less and less relevant. We are on the verge of an age of enlightenment, largely driven by access to the internet.
Yes.
And an enlightened people cannot be oppressed.
Yeah, you can't undo enlightenment. It's like, it's true. Once you're there.
Yeah. Why, oh, why didn't I take the blue pill?
Go back. Stand by here in moments. Appropriate, right? A very appropriate comment there as the Matrix has come out with its fourth episode. We did talk a little bit about that last night at the very end segment of the show. And we're going to continue here more with Adam Kokesh. Your calls, open phones at this moment. Now, if you want to join us about anything. It's Free Talk Live. Phones open if you want to join us here in the studio with you. It's Ian.
And the captain.
Also on the line with us, Adam Kokesh is with us. We're going to continue with your calls. And at this point, you don't have to have a question for Adam Kokesh. The interview portion of the show is over. He's just sticking with us as a remote co-host here.
He's just going to help us do a radio show. Show us how it's done.
Well, he does have a bit of experience at this. He used to do
he had a TV show, man. That's when I first discovered Adam.
Yeah. Oh, the RT.
I can show you all the ways to get canceled and censored.
You used to be on RT like a decade ago, right?
Yeah, a little more than a decade.
Yeah, wow, about a decade ago now. Yeah,
because there's a clip from it in Victimless Crime Spree, and Bonnie and I were just watching that a few weeks ago, and I think you were on RT at that time, so that would have been like 2011.
Yeah.
Oh, there was some other documentary too that Adam popped up in. I took a picture of my living room television with a picture of Adam on it, and I pinged him. I'm like, dude, you're in this movie.
That was the Ross Ulbricht movie.
Oh, that's right. It was.
Oh,
that's right.
Because God bless Saint Ross Ulbricht and his mother.
Indeed.
Lynn Ulbricht, the patron saint of activist mothers, who's done an incredible job championing his cause while he's been locked up. But yeah, I was ordering DMT on the Silk Road, and it was an amazing thing to be able to. And honestly, I have maintained for legal purposes a certain separation from that whole scene. But now I'm ready to just say screw it.
Well, and I wanted to say too, Adam, you know, while you're here, and we really rarely get to talk unless something's going on, right? You know, somebody's getting arrested or whatever. But what you're doing with this aid for PTSD for, you know, fellow soldiers and
home front battle buddies,
this thing that you're doing, I think, is kick ass, no pun intended, because what you're doing is you're taking the evidence that exists already that these things, you know, in the proper dosage, in the proper setting, you know, help folks overcome so many different things. You're just taking that, moving that forward without waiting for, you know, the bureaucracy, if you will, to give their approved version of this.
Yeah.
I love that.
I want to continue here. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got Sarah, who is a very regular caller here on Free Talk Live, the communist from New Mexico, calling from Albuquerque. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yes, I just want to mention that, you know, I found out that, you know, Afghanistan used to be American ally in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. As long as they were fighting the Russians. The Russians were there trying to take over and, I guess, turn them into communists. And then the U.S. government was funding them with our tax dollars, buying them weapons to fight off the Russians.
Yeah, I believe back in the day they were referred to as the Afghan freedom fighters, as a matter of fact, by all of the news outlets, if memory serves.
One man terrorist.
Right.
Oh yeah. So all of a sudden now, since they wanted the U.S. out, they thought the U.S. was going to be settled in there. Now they wanted them out, and all of a sudden, Osama bin Laden has become the big enemy, and now they spent American lives trying to take over Afghanistan and turn them into, put McDonald's and turn them into a part of America, and now we got kicked out also.
Yes, the folks of Afghanistan, despite how poor they happen to be, are pretty darn good at digging in and defending themselves over a long period. Now, Adam, you may have some personal comments about this particular conflict.
War is when government tells you who the enemy is, and revolution is when you figure it out for yourself, right?
Did you spend any time there, or were you just in Iraq?
No, just Iraq, 2004, but there's an obviously similar dynamic to the nature of those occupations as rackets, because that they were not wars in a traditional force-on-force military conflict over a specific point sense. They were invasions and occupations, which in some ways are much more brutal and destructive and oppressive, that it's not just we're gonna fight over something and then we're going to decide it's done and go back to living happy, productive lives. It's like we're the bully who's going to beat you up and then hold you down and keep beating you up.
Right.
And
wait for you every day on the way to the lunchroom or whatever.
Yeah. And there's a certain nature that connecting to my case here of, you know, the Enlightenment. I look at the progress of humanity as one of becoming less violent over time. And if you look at the scope of the brutality of the global war on terror, it's still a step down from everything of the Vietnam era, which is a step down from everything of the World War II era to World War I. And you go back in history, the proportion of violent deaths just goes up and up and up. So I celebrate, even though it's a very awkward and tragic and in many ways fake ending, but that the maintenance of the occupation of Afghanistan is just politically untenable in the United States. It's a very exciting turning point. There are a lot of turning points like that we are on the verge of. All we have to do is stand up and say, nah, we're putting our foot down. We're not going to cooperate with this anymore. Freaking knock it off. And governments will because they have to.
Thank you, Sarah, for the call tonight. Let's go to David, also calling from New Mexico in Albuquerque area. Go ahead, David.
All right. Hey, Adam. So one of the tactics that – how's it going?
Go ahead with your point, David.
One of the tactics that you use, I wanted to point out, but first of all, since it is Christmas, so let me just interject that I wonder what our government officials, what gifts that they have given with the high taxpayer salaries that a lot of them have. I wonder what gifts they've given to society this Christmas season. And I know one gift they gave to me, they trafficked my children illegally. I proved that with a unanimous decision at the New Mexico Court of Appeals 14 years ago that they were illegally trafficked by M. Monica Zamora and John J. Romero Jr., both judges, and yet I never saw them again anyway. So the point, what Adam did that I wanted to point out is that I just did it also. I named names, and your caller, yeah. Jet, it brings this up. They're not those people, you know, the sheriff of some county. It's, you know, John Smith, the sheriff of, and yes. Officer so-and-so. Adam did that a bunch of times. You got to yes. name names and hold these people accountable by name and let them know that we will not forget who the hell you are, John J. Romero Jr. and M. Monica Zamora. Otherwise, and that is a disincentive Amen. For them to continue to do it, and it's a disincentive for those kids that are graduating from high school right now that might entertain a job in law enforcement or judicial practices.
Thank you, David, for the call tonight.
Yes. Yes, thank you. And David, I'm so sorry for the experience that you and your children, your family have suffered at the hands of the state, and they're all too many.
So
and
common. I'm happens so honored. Often.
Yeah, I'm honored to have some role in inspiring you to have a similar stand on principle in your case there. I wish there were some easy way to translate what I just did into standing up for your kids, but family courts are a whole other destructive runaway racket in America.
A universe into itself.
Yeah. And I really do look forward to taking that on in the progress of America towards a voluntary society for humanity. It has to end. I mean, next to the drug war and, you know, military wars, the crimes that government commits under color of law in the name of family courts are probably the next most destructive and in ways so profoundly felt. I don't have kids, but I used to be one, and I was a child of divorce. And my parents got divorced when I was 10, and my brother was 8, and they both weaponized the state against each other.
And it sucks.
Was a horrific experience for everybody.
Yeah, no one should have to go through that, especially as a kid, to be passed around as, you know, this booty as part of this, yeah. you know, constant fighting between these sides over the state.
Well, and it's one of the reasons that I'm against state-sponsored marriage. I'm not against marriage, right? I don't care who you want to marry. You want to have a ceremony, you know, vow your life to another person. You go right ahead. Write down your agreements and stick to your agreements. But do not involve the state in anything like that.
Amen.
That's a horrible idea.
We got more coming up here, and your calls and thoughts are welcome. If you jump on the lines right now, we got Adam Kokesh with us, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live's live Saturday show. Is Free Talk Live. You can join us in the remaining moments on this live Christmas Day episode. Also, another live Saturday show, because we do this thing live all 7 nights a week. If you don't get in tonight, your captain will be back on Sunday night.
I will.
For the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live.
Hey, can I give away my present to our listeners?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that a little bit here. And by the way, Adam Kokesh is here too.
All right, Adam, I got a present for you too. I mean, you're a listener, but also an activist. So sometime, I guess about a year ago, Ian challenged me because, you know, I do parody music like Weird Al style, except, you know, funnier.
At LordKickass.com.
Yeah. So he challenged me to write some COVID carols, right? So take some Christmas songs and rewrite them in the key of COVID and all the, as you say, the response, the policy response to COVID. And so I did that, and then I went ahead and recorded 3 of them, of which I only published 1 of them, and that was to the tune of The Little Drummer Boy. It's called The Lockdowns Are Dumb, and I put that one up. And
Lockdowns are dumb.
Dumb, yeah. So, and then, so I did a little tweaking to the other 2 over the last year or so. I got them to a point where I like the mix now, and I like the way they came out. And so I've gone ahead and put up a 3-song EP. It's just called COVID Carols. You can find it at lordkickass.com. I've gone with the pay what you want model. So what that means is, if you go there and you listen to them and you like them and you want to download them, you can give between zero and whatever you like dollars, whatever you feel it's worth. So that means, yes, you can download them for free. They are available to you. I've also been giving out permission for folks to use them however they want, even though the website that they're on, the page that you land on, claims that they are under copyright. I am the copyright holder, and so you can refer to this recording as me giving you permission to use those parody songs in any work that you would like to use them for.
And those are available at lordkickass.com?
Correct.
And what is there a title for the EP, just COVID Carols?
COVID Carols is the title of the EP. Okay. The three songs are The Lockdowns Are Dumb, Do You Fear What I Fear, and Have Yourself a Sterile Little Christmas.
Woo!
Which I love, by the way. And this goes all the way back to the movie that we referenced earlier, Victimless Crime Spree, that Adam Kokesh makes an appearance in toward the end at victimlesscrimespree.com, because it was back then we were doing what was called the Shire Choir here in New Hampshire, and we would go to liquor stores and sing these drug war carols. That were just essentially the same concept of parody songs of classic Christmas carols that were anti-war on drugs. And the idea was that the state here in New Hampshire sells liquor. It has a monopoly on liquor sales. And so the point was, well, the state sells liquor, but it also prohibits cannabis. And so it's prohibiting its biggest competitor, essentially. And so this is, you know, clearly unfair and, you know, wrong. So we're going to go to the liquor stores and sing these Shire Choir songs. And it was just so much fun. And I, you know, when this crazy COVID stuff was happening, we needed something. We needed to bring back the Shire Choir, because that the whole idea of singing in protest to me is just so much more fun, and it's so much more harmonious than doing chants. I can't stand chanting. I find it to be just completely monotonous and mindless whenever I hear it, and I don't want to participate in it. But that's what people always do when they're at a protest. They always chant. It's like, let's get some songs going here and get people singing.
And the coup de grace, or the cherry on top of all of that, was because the lockdowns were still going on at around New Year's, we had a New Year's Eve party, which is really normal during normal times, but not during lockdown time. So
almost no one was having New Year's Eve parties.
We threw a New Year's Eve party complete with karaoke. And so not only was Ian and I were on stage, you know, singing these carols, but we had all the people at the party also, you know, Ian passed out, you know, made some sheets that I think Johnson had a hand in printing out and doing the design for. And so we had the whole New Year's Eve party singing these COVID carols, which was just a nice cherry on top.
It was indeed. So let's go to the phones here. We got Richard, another caller from New Mexico, which, by the way, aren't you from New Mexico, Adam?
I lived there. I finished high school my last 2 years in New Mexico. Lived there for a few years, and I ran for Congress as a Ron Paul-endorsed Republican.
That's what it was. That's what I remember.
In 2010.
So, yeah.
And I had a radio show in Albuquerque.
Yeah, that's right, on Kiva, right?
AM 1550, KIVA, more positive talk radio, Albuquerque.
We are on Kiva to this day, actually, so you're being heard there this weekend.
Welcome back.
Let's go to Richard, also in Albuquerque. Go ahead, Richard. You're on with Adam Kokesh.
Yes.
Back off that microphone, Richard. Back off that microphone, please.
Gotcha. Several days ago on the nightly news here in Albuquerque, they said that there's 1 out of 7 people in New Mexico that go hungry. And New Mexico and Albuquerque especially, they have different drives for kids that need the toys for Christmas. They need school supplies. They need clothes supplies, all kinds of different handouts. And I'm wondering if this is a problem all over the United States, and if people can't afford to have kids, why in the heck do they have kids if they can't support kids and they want everybody else to give them handouts to support them, school, free school lunches and everything? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great question, Richard. Why do people have kids when they can't afford them?
Well, no, Richard, if I may, I'm really grateful that you bring this point to the conversation to humanize things and remind us why we're doing this, because to submit to this system, as most people do, to obey, is to accept that they are going to maintain a poor, suffering sort of underclass of American citizens who are perpetually struggling economically, financially, and providing basic quality of life for themselves and their children because of the nature of the system. For all of the specific things that we complain about in the drug war and the war and the evil, you have to remember the point is always the rich get richer at the expense of everybody else. And that means that a certain number of people just are poorly managed by the system as tax cattle and end up being those sacrificial victims of an economic system that, creates scarcity where there needn't be any. We are so beyond that in our technological capacity, our economic capacity to provide for everyone on this earth. It is unconscionable and entirely unnecessary that we allow a system that creates that kind of suffering to continue for another day.
And to me, one thing is, it's one thing for people to go hungry and, you know, food to have sort of a distribution problem. There's enough food on planet Earth to feed everybody. Yeah. So we know that we just need to figure out how to get it to everybody. But that's one problem. But the other problem,
more homes than homeless people, more empty homes than homeless people in America.
Right. The biggest problem that I have is when you see the system shutting down people who are trying to help other human beings. This is, we see it all the time. You know, some volunteer organization sets up a thing in the park to feed the homeless and they get shut down for, you know, an illegal restaurant or something along those
Here's
lines.
Here's the food, not bombs.
Right. And so that's what makes the system disturbing. It's one thing to say the system is broke or the system doesn't do that very well. It's another thing for the system to totally contradict helping other human beings. And this is where you start to see me having a problem with the system, is when they say they kind of do one thing but then do a whole other thing. That's when you know it's a sham.
Well, they need that economically downtrodden class because then they can say, oh, well, we're going to help you. Here, just apply for this welfare over here and we'll take care of you. And then, of course, you get people hooked on the system. Yep. They become dependent on the system. And we saw that clearly in just the last 2 years where people decided they were going to stop working and go on this unemployment and basically never come off that unemployment. Even though New Hampshire has one of the lowest unemployment rates, that number apparently doesn't count people who aren't looking for work.
No, even nationally, like, those numbers have been skewed for a long time to not include, like, people who have just stopped looking after a year or something like
that. And there's literally jobs everywhere. I mean, you can go downtown Keene, New Hampshire, throw a stone and you're going to hit a dozen businesses with hiring signs up. So, I mean, there's opportunities everywhere, but the state has gotten so many people hooked on its give-outs, its handouts, that they're just not going for it. And that's incredibly destructive and addictive for those people.
Gentlemen, since we only have a couple minutes left,
not even.
If I may harken back to how and why to be a friggin' pirate are, what they steal from us more than any of these material things or opportunities you point out is the core of our humanity, mm-hmm. of our freedom, of our individual will, of our autonomy, of our ability to create peaceful relationships with our fellow human beings. They have stolen that from us, and they are on the run. They are on their heels. It is time to push harder than ever and take it back once and for all.
Beautiful ending to this program.
Well said,
check him out, Adam versus the Man. What's the best website for you right now? Is it homefrontbattlebuddies.org?
T.me/AdamVersusTheMan. Love and Telegram.
Thanks, Adam, for being here with us for the entire live Christmas Day episode. We're back tomorrow. Join us then, freetalklive.com.